Hi, welcome to Sonic Serial. I'm Jesse.
And I'm Mark. And in this podcast, we take a deep dive into albums from some of our favorite artists, track by track.
And this week, we finished discussing Björk's album, Volta.
It's a sometimes brilliant, sometimes tedious, but always sexy ride.
And we're here for it.
So we'll quickly run through our missed opportunities from last week.
Yeah. So I forgot to mention the artwork in the lobby downstairs.
Oh, yeah.
With the big boat. Have you seen it?
Mm-hmm.
And the colorful little squares.
The one by what you see in the elevator.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a perfect representation of this album.
Okay.
And I also forgot to mention the Beyoncé Break My Soul mashup with Wanderlust. Shame on you.
On me? Okay. This album was released on May 1st, 2007.
And on one little independent records.
And it's classified under electropop, world, experimental, and avant-pop.
And it discusses humanity, hope, motherhood, independence, environmental, and cultural identity.
And it's Björk's sixth album. And it was recorded all around the world, including New York City,
London,
Jamaica,
Brussels,
and
Bamako, which is in Mali.
And today we are doing the last four songs of the album, which are...
Thank God. Pneumonia.
We'll get to that.
Pneumonia.
Hope.
Declare Independence.
And My Juvenile. So let's kick it off with track 7, Pneumonia.
This one goes out to all the Alices and Dorothys of the world, and Isabels.
What do you mean?
You'll see why.
Okay. So this is a minimalist, slow, and somber kind of song.
It makes me feel like I'm alone at the beach on a gray day, staring out at the ocean.
Hmm. I would say it feels like a callback from... an overture from Selma Songs with the melancholy... I don't understand this.
It's got the melancholy pensive brass, so it sounds like overture from Selma Songs.
Oh. Okay.
It's like the soundtrack to a very strange fever dream movie that's only playing inside Björk's head.
I feel like she plays inside your head.
Well,
this, where did this song come from?
It came about when Björk got pneumonia in January of 2007 for 2 weeks. And
she isolated herself.
Yeah, she did that. It was like when we were in Madrid. It wasn't pneumonia, but it was tough.
You were really sick.
Yeah.
Then she went to the movies and she saw Guillermo del Toro's Pan's Labyrinth.
Have you seen that movie?
Yes, I saw it in the theaters. I would like to see it again because it's, you know, been a long time.
It's really good.
Yeah.
She felt a connection with the main character in the film, Ophelia / Princess Moana. So she went home and wrote the song on the piano.
All right.
All right.
What about production for this song?
It's got 7 French horn players playing on this song, and it was arranged and orchestrated for horns by Nico Muli.
That's what makes Björk. You know, somebody else would just have one French horn player and then just, you know, like copy paste. So it sounds like a bunch of them.
Mm.
But she just has them all, you know? She's like, it needs to be real.
For real.
Okay.
And there's no percussion, it's just horns, because, you know, most of the album has...
Oh, she's so horny.
Percussions. And as far as the lyrics go,
yeah,
she's talking about fantasy versus reality,
the loss of innocence,
obedience and no disobedience,
and the power of imagination in the face of brutality.
Wow,
I'm here for that.
So I like when she says, "And your lungs, their morning TB style, all the stillborn love that could have happened, all the moments you should have embraced, all the moments you should have not locked up." It's powerful stuff. And this lyric and the whole song makes me think I'm robbing myself of opportunities and great moments for being too introverted and not making more of an effort to be present and connect. So my goal is to have a healthy balance of being introvert and extrovert. Thank you.
I can see that. I think, like with pneumonia or anytime you're sick, you sort of realize that you've taken your health for granted.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, man, what if I don't get better? Like, what if this is my new life?
Yeah.
What should I have done? You know? Health is wealth.
Sure is. Get insurance.
But it's like you're sitting there and you're like, am I going to get better? And then it's almost like a mini version of like a deathbed regret, you know?
Yeah.
You think you'll have regrets when you die?
I hope not. I mean, it is what it is. It's like, I'm not going to care anyways, and pretty soon, so. Just regrets, no regrets. Who cares?
Because you spend a lot of time now sort of thinking about...
I'm just going to be like, fuck it.
Okay.
It is what it is. All right. Well, what about you?
I just told you.
Okay. Oh, well, Bjork has only performed Pneumonia once in August 26, 2008 in Lyngholtskirkja, Reykjavik, Iceland.
That was good. It was used for Chanel Spring Summer 2011 fashion show, and it was played by a live orchestra.
Neat.
Yeah.
Very elegant. And also my favorite.
That was the Karl Lagerfeld days.
It was.
Yeah.
It was. R.I.P. But Bette Midler did a mashup with Aphex Twin's piano track.
Let's take a listen.
Yeah. Not bad. And I did a cover of the song, and it was hard for me to sing.
Who did it best?
Like between me and Bjork?
Yeah, and Bette Midler.
Oh, they just did a mashup. But out of all this stuff?
Yeah.
I don't know. I did it the best.
Okay.
Have you ever had pneumonia?
No, but I was in a hospital after my motorcycle accident, and it sucked. Being sick. Or, you know, needing to be fixed. Yeah. So, no, but I feel like I've experienced really bad, you know, like that was a really bad thing. So I can probably empathize with people with pneumonia. How about you?
You don't even know. No, I haven't had pneumonia. And I'm not going to tell you about times when I was in the hospital.
Why?
Because that doesn't answer the question. Oh. I asked you if you had pneumonia.
I said no.
I didn't say, did you have any sick experiences like pneumonia? Give me a cocktail. What kind of cocktail are you going to make me?
I think you have to apologize.
I'm sorry.
I would make a cocktail called the Fever Dream, which is a hot gin toddy with a brass section.
I like hot toddies.
Yeah. So what's in this one?
It's got some gin, lemon juice, and honey syrup. It's like...
Simple Simon.
Yeah. It's like being tucked into bed by someone who's simultaneously angry at you and making soup.
Hmm. Does that ever happen?
Yeah.
Me?
Yeah. Well,
I've never gone to bed angry at you. Thank you. Let's move on to track 8, Hope. To me, this sounds like Bjork, like a Bjork lullaby until you realize it's about a pregnant suicide bomber.
Classic Volta move.
Yeah. So what's the mood of this? What's the vibe of this song?
It's like Pop Girly goes to Africa and tries to get political, but didn't study for the test and got all the answers wrong. I don't know.
Is that really a picture of Bjork?
Yeah.
What happened to her face?
She didn't study for the test and she got all the answers wrong.
Do you love this song?
No, it's my least favorite song on the album. The way she sings on it, the lyrical content. And I'm not too impressed with the production either.
Hmm.
These Timbaland collabs just seem a little forced, and that's never good.
Never good. Well, speaking of Timbaland, what about production?
Yeah, it's got Timbaland and Danja on production for the last time. It just keeps getting worse. Anyway, luckily they stopped after 3 failures. No disrespect. Love Bjork. Love Timbaland. They just don't go together.
As you know.
Like Icelandic glacier water and hot Cheetos.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's a Bjork, Timbaland, Danja, a.k.a. Nate Dangerhands. Yeah. Wait, which...
Danger.
Just say that again.
You say it again. It's a Bjork Timbaland Danger collab. Also known as Nate Dangerhands.
Oh, I get it.
And she also does the sign bass and clavichord on this track.
And the thumb piano, which is the Ikimbe?
Mm-hmm.
part was left unedited.
Yeah, she insisted on keeping the raw, distorted energy intact, even though it overlooked studio gear.
Diva. Diva.
Flop Tina.
You just gave her a compliment and called her flop. Okay. And there's the kora, which is played by Tumani Diabate.
Sounds good to me.
Okay, what is a kora?
It's an African string instrument made of 21 strings, and it's plucked. It's kind of like a harp, I guess.
Okay. Or a chicken.
Or a chicken.
Bjork said that she was very pleased with the melody in this song. And it came about from hiking in places like Lampedusa and Guatemala.
Have you been to those places?
I've been to Guatemala.
What's it like?
It's like Panama.
I've never been there either.
It's like El Salvador.
Never. Okay, just stop. Do you think she seems pleased with herself a lot?
Yeah, I do. Do you? I think she's like, look what I fucking did.
She wouldn't admit if she wasn't. So, Well, no, that's why she has like a lot of unreleased tracks, because, you know, sometimes she's not pleased with herself.
I think being pleased with yourself is like smug.
Yeah.
You know, like everything I do is.
Are you ever pleased with yourself?
Sure. Everyone should be every once in a while.
Well, Bjork said when she was recording with Diabate in Bamako, he laid out a prayer rug at 6 o'clock and she was like, "Oh my God, what are you doing? Making a song about a pregnant suicide bomber with a Muslim in Mali." Classic Bjork.
With who, where, doing what?
She's telling herself, like, what are you doing making a song about a pregnant suicide bomber with a Muslim? That's
Tiamat. Why you gotta bring a Muslim into it?
In Mali. All right. Because when we're gonna talk about the lyrics, you'll understand
that. Okay. Well, what are the central themes?
It's about moral equilibrium,
terrorism,
good versus evil,
and differing ideologies. Yeah. Bjork said she wrote this when
terrorism. That sounds like our relationship.
I wish I had a drum. And a cymbal.
I'm sorry, what were you saying?
That Bjork said she wrote it when terrorism was rampant in the news all around the world and she was living in New York City.
Those were the days. She came across a story about a pregnant suicide bomber and got frustrated with how the media glossed over the idealism behind the woman's actions, focusing instead on the fact that she appeared pregnant. So,
looksist.
Apparently it turned out the woman was actually pregnant, and the media suddenly showed more compassion after discovering this.
Bjork felt like the whole news, the mole. Oh, why is my failure so happy? Happy for you.
Your mom and I talk about it all the time. She's like, "Yeah, I know. I used to be in his school classrooms laughing at him like that."
As I was saying, Bjork felt like the male news reporter was shaming the woman for appearing to be pregnant.
Yeah. But besides that, this is the only song in Volta where Bjork is explicitly not singing from her own perspective. She imagined it from the mind of the female suicide bomber.
Is that something she does often or not very much?
Sometimes.
Okay.
You know, it's like writing for a movie. Sometimes you try to see yourself in the character. Yeah. She said she was trying to understand how the woman felt rather than what was the cause she was fighting for.
I see the distinction.
We're all human, no matter what. At the end of the day, there's an individual behind something that, you know, they have feelings and stories. You know what I'm saying? Okay.
She said she was trying to understand. I already said that.
She found it hilarious to sing about such a dark topic to be gentle to a gentle ballad like music.
I think it's about seeing someone as a human despite their actions or being perceived as like they're evil. Do you agree?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. So, a lyric that stands out to me is when she says, "What's the lesser of two evils? If a suicide bomber made to look pregnant manages to kill her target or not?" How would you answer that?
It just seems out of character for her to be singing lyrics like, I don't know. Who would you expect to be singing a song like this?
Maybe M.I.A. Not Madonna, though. You said you want Madonna to sing this.
I did not. I would say P.J. Harvey.
Oh, she sings about stuff like this?
No, but she's kind of an angry singer.
That's cool. I would like to hear a cover of her do this.
Yeah.
AI.
Do your thing.
Yeah. If you told me this lyric came from a leaked Nine Inch Nails by Grimes collab, I'd believe you.
Really?
No. Nine Inch Nails? Come on. They just sound better than this.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Thought you were putting them down.
No, never. As far as cultural impact goes, she performed Hope in 2007 and 2008.
And where did she perform it?
At Glastonbury with Tumani Diabate.
Let's hear some Tumani. That was nice. What do you think of his album cover?
Whose album is that?
Tumani's.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I thought so. That's why I put it here.
I wonder if it's real or...
I don't think it's two women actually fused together.
CG. That's a woman. That's a drag queen. She's just doing this. This is a cool Halloween costume.
Yeah.
Anyway, if I were to make a drink with this song, it would be the Optimist Landmine.
What is that?
It's a bright, sparkly drink that might accidentally explode your conscience. Because it's got mezcal, Aperol, lime, grapefruit soda, and a pinch of smoked salt.
What's the vibe?
Beautiful, citrusy, disturbing. The kind of drink that's smiling while asking, but what if destruction is birth? Sounds pretty good.
Tastes good too.
Yeah. Well, I want to move on to the next track, and that's Declare Independence.
Declare independence. Don't let them do that to you. Declare independence. Don't let them do that to you.
I feel like we sound like the Shorty Balls thing from SNL. Okay, track 9, Declare Independence. What's your first impression?
Every Bjork album needs an explosive punk moment, and this is it.
That's quite a declaration.
Well, you know, she's just teasing us with the next to last banger before the end. You know what I'm saying?
You know what bangers are?
It's like homogenic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't come for me. It's classic Bjork. It's like Army of Me meets Pluto.
Oh, you had to get that in there?
Yeah. Where did this song come from?
I don't know. You tell me.
Well, I think it's like sometimes you see injustices happening around the world and you feel the need to incorporate it in your art. And some people go out and protest while some people write songs.
Do you think that our art incorporates the weight of the world's injustices?
Our art?
Yeah.
No, but it can. Anyway, just...
Want to go into production?
Yeah.
Okay. Did I miss something?
I don't know.
Oh! Does your music incorporate, like, the weight of the world? Wow, you really wanted me to set that up.
No. Yeah, I think I've tried to get political every now and then. And I think as you get older, you have more feelings about it. Because when you're younger, you're just like, this doesn't affect me and I don't care. I've got my own world and my own stuff going on.
Then you realize that it's all intertwined.
Yeah. So now, yeah, recent years, I would try to incorporate stuff like what's going on in my music.
Give me an example.
Okay.
I don't know. Let that silence speak for itself.
Like, I had done songs with my, you know, in the last 10 years, like my Sine Wave albums. My Sine Wave albums, I definitely try to get political and maybe in a way. And, yeah. I can only think of two songs. where I got political, and that's all. What do you want?
You know, in this light, you look like, and I guess with your new mustache, you look like John Travolta from, like, the Staying Alive days.
That's fine.
Yeah.
You didn't look bad.
Mm-mm.
Thank you.
So what about production?
It's like hardcore electronic punk along the lines of, think Atari Teenage Riot.
Who's that?
You don't know Atari Teenage Riot?
No.
Oh, man.
Have you ever introduced me to them?
No.
Okay. I can't carry the whole weight of the world on my shoulders.
I know. Well, Declare Independence was produced with Mark Bell, who started playing the instrumental track at his LFL shows in Dublin in November 2006.
Mark Bell again?
Hey, don't worry. By the way, Mark Bell did programming on Biophilia, in case you were wondering.
I always wondered.
And then that's it. So, just like Vertebrae, this also contains samples of brass from Drawing Restraint 9.
You know, I just realized that Vertebrae by Vertebrae means like one by one, like one vertebrae by one. I thought it was like the song Vertebrae by the band Vertebrae.
Okay. Well, we got, she has lyrics in this song. And it's possible that...
What kind of themes?
You know, we got justice.
Standing up for your rights.
Micronations being sexy.
Yelling your politics directly into an amp.
DIY nation building.
What else?
Screaming no at colonialism while wearing a wig made of copper wire.
Being your own country, even if your only citizen is your inner monologue.
The revolution will be choreographed.
And what's good for the whole ain't always good for the soul.
What is going on? I don't know, but Bjork said the song was kind of a joke.
See, you get it? We just did a joke.
Oh.
I don't know.
More like advice to...
It sounded better in my head.
Girlfriend... I understand. More like advice to a girlfriend stuck in a bad relationship than a serious political anthem.
Yeah. That said, the lyrics were also inspired by Greenland and the Faroe Islands being colonized by Denmark, and Iceland finally getting its independence in 1944.
Yeah, and she also compared it to Aretha Franklin's R-E-S-P-E-C-T, if Aretha had screamed into a distorted pedal. Wow. You know, I was thinking today... that, Bjork kind of seems like, like she's kind of...
Judgmental?
I don't know what I'm trying to say, like, because she's from Iceland, and she's in her own little bubble, and she doesn't...
Xenophobic?
Really understand what's going on in the world, and, whenever there's, like, wars and stuff, and...
She comes out of hiding and she's like,
I don't know what I'm trying to say. It. Never mind. I just feel like a person from that country may not understand as much as someone from like Africa or Iraq or.
You sound like that.
I gotta cut this all out. I don't. It's getting weird.
You sound like that beauty contestant, remember? She was like. And the Iraq.
That's how I am on my interviews. I use the calculator, Windows calculator, and then it gets accurate calculations. And Windows calculator. It's not even a complete sentence.
You said that during an interview?
Yeah, I did.
Oh my gosh.
Well... I'd say this song is the lyrics.
Wait, but no, tell me.
What? It's just like this.
You told me it was like watching Meryl Streep.
Yeah. And White Chicks. Or worse, one of those cursed gay horror movies we keep seeing on Tubi.
Seeing, you put them on. It's not like we're scrolling by them.
They just come on, we're flicking the channels. I was like, what's this world coming to? Well, the standout lyric for this song would be, "Damn colonists, ignore their patronizing, tear off their blindfolds, open their eyes." If you just don't want to spray paint that on a wall right now.
I wanted to put it on a sign in the kitchen.
No, put it on a building.
Unlike her other song lyrics that are usually filled with abstract type of poetry, this one's pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
It's like you're tapping your lip weave.
It's during the 2008 Serbian elections, fans held up banners quoting this song in pro-independence protests for Kosovo. The song got dragged into Balkan politics. Dragged for filth. Mm.
Does it have a video?
Yeah, and the video was directed by Michel Gondry, and it's their seventh collaboration with Bjork, and it's disappointing and underwhelming, and it just doesn't look as stylized as his other videos.
He's a they?
No.
Oh.
He's a he.
You said they.
Sorry.
No, I just want to make sure that I don't misgender.
Yeah, so the last one they did together before this song was Bachelorette, so... I was really excited when I heard that Michel Gondry was going to be collaborating with Bjork again, and lo and behold, another disappointment. Just like the album cover as well. I don't know if I said that, but Nick Knight had shot the album cover, and he did the homogenic cover.
So you were excited?
Yeah.
And then?
Total opposite.
Disappointment.
What the fuck is this shit? You know?
Where's the class?
I know. And, yeah, but anyway, this music video, it was shot in October 2007 in New York City and featured Mark Bell, making it one of the first Bjork videos to include one of her producers. Because nobody just wants to see her. This is getting boring, you know?
She performed this song regularly from 2007 to 2013, including at Coachella 2007. Did you go?
To 2007?
Yeah.
No. Did but you were?
Yeah, I was there. I don't know.
What? I mean, okay.
You think she just sat on a chair with a candle and
like did a guitar and just sang? Happen that night?
I don't remember.
No. What were you on?
A lot.
Oh.
Have you seen her do it?
Yeah, I saw her do it in Richmond in 2013. And honestly, I think this is the song that wrecked her vocal cords. Because she had the... have surgery. And I don't know how many times she's performed this. I think, according to my calculations...
Is that your Windows calculator?
Yes. And she performed it 142 times. Wow. So that's a lot of times to be screaming every night.
Yeah. Okay, I can and see how.
So, just should have put it on the back burner.
Choices.
Did she stir up any controversy with this song?
I heard it's always stirring up controversy. But yes, she did in Tokyo by dedicating it to Kosovo, which got her show in Novi Sad canceled.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Then she did it again in Shanghai, dedicating it to Tibet.
Oh, not with the Chinese.
And some people walked out because they said their feelings were hurt and trying to ban her from performing altogether. So
there you go. I actually saw in something we were watching that that they don't talk about Tibet inside of China because it's like kind of forbidden.
Yeah.
So when she brought it up during a concert, it was, you know, extra scandalo.
Mm. You don't do that in someone else's home.
But what if they're
see, that's
like,
what I'm saying.
What if they're abusing their kids though? Do you bring it up?
Ooh.
Okay.
What if you just heard that they were abusing the kids, but when you came into the home, you didn't see anything of the sort?
Show me the kids. Otherwise, they could be chained up in the basement.
Hot topics.
Hot takes. Welcome to Sonic Zero.
But that's what
that should be our new thing. Hot topics and hot takes.
That's what I'm saying. She's from Iceland and she doesn't understand how, like, other countries work.
I
and
see.
So she should just, you know, maybe not do that. I'm just kidding. Do what you want. I don't care.
Are you controlling a woman's speech?
Yes. No, I would never.
Yeah, you would never.
But Bjork said that later she said she wasn't trying to be political and that the song was written with more personal emotions in mind, though she's also dedicated it to Pussy Riot and Trayvon Martin, so
I guess it can be both. What about remixes?
It's been remixed by Brian Chippendale with his Black Puss remix, and it sounds like hormonal women protesting or a normal day on the street. You know what I'm saying?
There's another remix by Ghost Digital and one by Matthew Hubbard.
Yeah. And there's also a cover by Lito Pimienta where it sounds happy and poppy and inspirational and very Latin.
You pronounce that really well.
Oh, gracias. What's so funny?
There's also a piano and strings version by Neon Paradis.
You speak Spanish every day. Do I come in there and laugh at you, yes, even though I know that your coworkers secretly want to? Shade, disrespect.
It's brave of me to speak Spanish with them.
Yes. You should do this podcast in Spanish. Anyway.
Okay.
Well, a personal anecdote is that I once got pulled over while blasting this song, and it's the first ticket of my life. And guess what it was for?
What?
Lane straddling. You know, have you ever just gotten out of the car and just straddled that lane?
That sounds so dirty when you say
it. I know. And then the cop said it to me. I was like, the fuck? Never in my life. Anyway, power protest, baby. If I were ordered the Declare Independence at a bar,
mm-hmm.
Can you imagine? What do you want? Declare Independence. Okay, get the fuck out of here.
What if you say it like that?
Can I get a Declare Independence, please? That still sounds weird.
Not as weird as, can I help you? Declare Independence.
Right on, people. Brother. Okay, well,
If I were to make a cocktail for the song, it would be the Unruly Republic, which would be like a Molotov in a glass.
I've always wanted to do that.
You like that Molotov?
Yeah, but not to, like, anyone or anything, just, like, I don't know, an empty
warehouse?
Abandoned building.
And then it catches on fire and firemen come and they die.
Yes, that's awesome. Sorry, no, not really. Anyway,
Sorry, that was going so well. And cinnamon spit.
Cinnamon spit. It's gross.
Now we're on to track 10, My Juvenile. What's the mood?
It's like that calming retrospective vibe, and it's a little bit melancholic, you know what I'm saying? Can I hook you up?
Corridor. Ice and warm.
And this is another duet with Anoni.
Wow. It's got that classic calm after the storm energy. It's like the emotional excel she's done to close out other albums.
You agree?
Yeah.
Okay. It was actually one of the first songs Bjork wrote for Volta, which is surprising given how gentle and calm and settled that it feels.
Mm.
Maybe it was this song that was like, okay, I got this song, now I want to do the opposite because I want to be chaotic.
Yes. So she bought a clavichord, and that's a medieval pluck string keyboard, and she composed it on that.
Good for her.
Yeah. Find your light.
And for reference, the most famous piece that's ever been written for the clavichord is The Well, Tempered Clavier by Bach. So... good for her. It's not your regular synth jam.
As a closer, it's a total vibe shift from the rest of Volta's manic, metallic chaos, like waking up after a bad dream with a weird sense of peace.
And maybe a heart playing ghost by your side.
Yeah. So, it also kind of sounds like a bridge to her next album.
And to the Netherworld.
Which has that vibe. Yeah. So that's, yeah, the next album.
Cheers to that.
So we got... So it's got... As far as production goes, we told you, it includes vocals by Anoni, and she is credited as the conscience.
And Jonasson plays the clavichord, and he also played on the Drawing Restraint 9 soundtrack. You like that soundtrack?
I do. It's a good soundtrack.
Mm. I don't know it.
It's kind of weird sometimes, but it's good. It's better than Medulla. I don't know. It's better than this album. That's what I meant to say.
Hot takes.
And there's lyrics, and you're going to want to listen because it's about motherhood and all the mess that comes with it.
Mm. And Bjork expresses guilt about how she raised her son, Sindri.
I think he lived in Washington. Oops. Don't want to dox him. Anoni steps in like the voice of reason, offering reassurance and emotional grounding. Like her mom or something. Mm. She's like, it's okay, baby.
Her mom's from Mrs. Bjork talked about how parenting can be clumsy. In her words, she said...
You sort of let go too... Okay. You sort of let go too much when they're 14, and then suddenly when they're 16, you behave again like they're 8, and then when they're 18, you think they can fly across the world on their own. And then when they're 20, you tell them off because they're wearing a dirty jacket. It's clumsy.
What? Go off with that trigonometry. A lot of numbers.
I mean, what were you like when you were 14? Did your mom let go?
No, she still hasn't.
Oh.
I don't know. I was happy. I like my life.
Okay, all right. Well, she also lovingly called herself.
For my 14th birthday, I got 10 Izod Lacoste shirts. In every single color.
Izod.
With the little alligator.
Oh, that's Lacoste.
Yeah, Izod Lacoste. Or I guess it was Lacoste.
Yeah. She also said it's kind of hilarious because he's a bit clumsy and sometimes doesn't know jack shit what he's doing. And I was going to do it so well because I thought my mom did it totally wrong, but now in the same situation as her. I don't know, one parent who doesn't have guilt.
That got dark.
Do you think your parents have guilt?
No.
Do you think they should?
Because they're like, they don't think they did anything wrong.
Do you think they should?
I mean, they never touched me, but...
Do you think they should?
Have guilt?
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, I don't think they did the things they did, the fucked up things they did, like, on purpose. So, it's hard to, like, you know, hold them to that standard of being...
When they showed
you. Of having volition. They just were clueless and selfish.
Sorry. If you know someone that's going through that situation, there's a hotline. Anyway.
Are you making fun of people going through that? Because, I mean, people go through worse, but it wasn't nothing.
Mm. Yeah, my parents don't have guilt either.
Yeah.
It's raw, funny, and weird.
Because parents are probably like, this is a lot of work. What am I going to have guilt about? Like, no one gave me a handbook.
Yeah. Why should she have guilt?
Yeah.
She's trifling. Anyway, it's raw, funny, and weirdly comforting, like a lullaby for parents who thought they'd do better but still ended up yelling about laundry. That sounds like you.
What about lyrics for this song?
One standout lyric is, "You are my biggest love. I clumsily tried to set you free from me. One last embrace to tie a sacred ribbon."
So it sounds like she's encouraging her son to be independent at a pretty early age.
Yeah.
And now she wants him to be like a child again. You know, you miss things the most when you don't have them anymore.
Mm. Don't I know it? Mom's gonna be mom's, yes.
Was this performed live?
She only performed it once, and that was in August 2008 in, again, Lyngholtskirkja. Reykjavik, Iceland. This is an offer to better the last let go.
This is the offer. And do you know that Björk and Anoni sang cheek to cheek for this song?
Why? What do you mean cheek to cheek?
Like their cheeks were touching. Or unless you think it's their ass cheek.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. Well, if you were going to make a drink, can I get the My Juvenile? You know.
I want to order that at a restaurant. I would say, I would call this drink the Cringy Parent. It tastes like somebody, it tastes like someone trying too hard at a music festival.
Ooh.
I told you I saw Danny DeVito at Coachella.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen a lot of celebrities, but he, for some reason, really stood out.
I saw Danny DeVito on set. You it's always sunny in Philadelphia.
I saw you in that.
Yeah. That's when we first started dating.
I know.
Well.
Here we are.
No. No.
Okay.
I'm sorry. That was before.
Before we started dating?
Yeah. It aired when we started dating.
Okay.
But it was made... the summer before.
That was definitely worth 60 seconds.
I'm so sorry. Anyway, that drink.
Yeah, the Cringy Parent.
Would have Midori vodka.
Why would it have Midori?
Because nothing says bad choices with good intentions like neon melon liqueur.
I used to like Midori because I used to like Midori.
Here we go again.
Midori sours. Midori sour. It's like a sweet and sour with Midori.
All right, well.
The other drink is called the Melon Ball, but I don't like that one. Did you just get alcohol on my...
No, I just...
On my Jason outfit?
Feel weird, because my dad used to come home wearing jumpsuits all the time and drink, and then... Look at me now. Look at this. Anyway.
And he had a mustache like that.
Yeah, he did. Weird.
What goes around comes around.
You become your parents eventually, speaking of motherhood. We got vodka, lime juice. What do you want? That's what you call parent fuel.
What am I talking about?
No. What does Volta feel like to you?
We didn't have dinner, by the way, just for context.
I said that earlier.
Feels like Bjork hit shuffle on her emotions, called up Timbaland, and said, let's make something loud and weird and maybe a little political, but also about my kid. Because he's like, Mom, you never put me in your albums.
He's like, well, this one sucks. I'll just throw you in that.
Oh my gosh. I know, if my like mom finally decided to sing about me and was like, you put it on the crappiest album ever. That's a diss.
Damn.
How dare you? No one's gonna listen to this. Anyway, I think we gotta wrap it up.
Yeah.
We're not doing Volta anymore. We're done with this boat ride, whatever you wanna call it.
Sinking ship.
What was
that?
Yeah.
No, there's songs on here. There's a few songs I like. That I would actually put on my Bjork, like, playlist if I had one.
Yeah, same. It's not all as bad. We're just pulling your arm. Well, what up?
I guess we're done.
And are we doing something next week?
Oh, we're not done. You tell me. This is your sleigh. This is your sleigh. I'm just pulling it.
Okay, Radiohead.
Which album?
Hell to the Thief. Okay. And we want to talk about politics.
Oh, yeah. It's a good time.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
All right.
Yeah. Oh, tune in.
Not done with that Bush era. You know?
I know.
Those are the days.
Man. If we knew then what we know now.
Oh, well. What are you going to do? All right. Signing off. Love you. Bye.
Okay. How long do you think that was?
50 minutes.
54 minutes.
54?
Yeah. You work for every penny. Looks like some Hellraiser thing where you're peeling your lips off. And it's just going to be a big skull opening.
Yeah. You ready?
Now that I think of it, Roger's very real. Hellraiser. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like he's always pulling his body out of his skin.
Yeah.
And cutting off his limbs and they grow back.
Yeah.
Hellraiser vibes.
How'd they make that horse purple?
Well, this is the Wizard of Oz, so they probably just dyed it.
Damn.
And then killed it.
R.I.P. horse. Oh, red one. That's kind of cool, actually.
Yeah. Look how gay this the Tin Man is. Mm-mm. How do you feel?
We're done with Volta. I don't want to do it again.